Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. My guess is that some of you today are struggling with a very difficult decision, and you're just unsure which way to turn. In this kind of situation, the very first question you should ask is, what does God say? We're always looking for a sign. God says, look for a scripture. We're always looking for God to give us a miracle of some kind, but God says, go to my word. You know, when I'm going to make a decision in any area of my life, a decision with my family or a decision with my kids or about my ministry or work or about my education or money or really anything, the first question I ask is this: what does God say? What does God say? God's will is found in God's word. In Proverbs 2, the Bible says, it is the Lord who gives wisdom, and from him come knowledge and understanding. That's what you need to make that difficult decision. You need wisdom, you need knowledge, and you need understanding. And the Bible says those three things come from his word. God provides the help and protection for those who are righteous and honest. And the Bible says God cares, and the Bible says that God helps those who come to him for wisdom. Now, this may be the most important thing you hear this week, so listen closely. When you need wisdom to make a decision, stop listening for a voice and start looking for a verse. God has already provided the answer you need in the Bible. So let's get started by looking into God's Word today on Daily Hope.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called Doing Business with God. Now in these lessons, we'll learn what it truly means to do our work as unto the Lord, and how our work can be a form of ministry to others and worship to God. Whether your work is at home, on a job site, in an office, in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how you can find significance in your occupation, allowing you to enjoy your work more than ever. How does that sound? These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace, and you can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Making Wise Decisions at Work.
Now, the fifth thing that Solomon tells us to do in the book of Proverbs, if you got a major decision to make, is this, very important, count the cost. That's the fifth thing you got to do in a major decision. Count the cost. This is the principle of evaluation. You figure out in advance what the decision will cost. And you're going to need a budget. And because every decision has a price tag. And you have to ask yourself, what's it going to cost in four areas? You might write these things down. What's it going to cost in time? So just time. You write that down. Time, question mark. What's it going to cost in money, question mark. Time, money. The third one is, what's it going to cost in energy? And the fourth one is, what's it going to cost my family, my relationships? You need to know what that cost is, and you've got to count the cost. Proverbs 20:25, Solomon gives this wise advice. It is foolish and rash to make a promise to the Lord before counting the cost. Circle that, counting the cost. He says it's a trap. It's a trap to decide without deliberating. It's a trap to promise without pondering. It's a trap to make a decision without having counted the cost. That's why when people come to Saddleback and I say, are you ready to make that decision about giving your life to Christ? And they say, well, no, I'm not. I said, well, that's okay. And I always tell them this, take the time to make the right decision. I'm never in a hurry to push somebody to receive Christ. I say, take the time to make the right decision. Because I truly believe that if they're intellectually honest and they take the time to genuinely consider the facts, it's the most logical, rational, makes sense, beneficial decision you can make to get in harmony with the Creator who made me. I mean, I don't understand the logic of being out of whack with my Creator who made me. But I say, take the time to make the right decision. So you got to deliberate before deciding. You got to ponder before promising. And what I'm telling you is, as your pastor, I'm giving you permission to tell people, I'll get back to you. It's okay to say, I'll get back to you on a decision. When a salesman or anybody else makes an ask of you, if I make an ask of you, it's okay for you to say, I'll get back to you, to ponder it, to decide on it, to count the cost. Don't be pressured, because there is a law of life that Proverbs and Ecclesiastes teach, and it's this. It's always easier to get in than to get out. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's always easier to get in than it is to get out. Is it easier to get in debt than out of debt? Oh, baby, oh, baby. Yeah. Is it easier to get into a relationship than out of a relationship? Oh, yeah. Is it easier to fill your schedule than fulfill your schedule? Yeah. It's always easier to get in than to get out. And so Jesus even said, count the cost. He tells two stories. Look at this verse in Luke. Jesus said, if you want to build a tower, it's here on the screen. If you want to build a tower, you must first sit down and figure out how much it will cost. If you don't, you might not be able to finish it, and people would ridicule you. And if a king is considering going to war, he must first sit down and plan. He must count his 10,000 soldiers and decide if they can defeat a king who has 20,000. Jesus even himself is saying, you need to count the cost in following me. Is the cause worth the cost? So here's the question you want to ask when you're making a major decision. After you've counted the cost, is it worth it? That's the question. Is it worth it? Before I started Saddleback Church, I had to count the cost of what it would be to me in terms of time, money, energy, my family, and everything else. Anybody want to guess the first year budget of Saddleback Church? The entire budget. This included all staff salaries. The entire budget of our church, $60,000. That was the first year's budget. I knew that there would be sacrifices to be made in the startup. But I had to ask, is it worth it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's worth it. Knowing that people are going to be in heaven for eternity, thousands and thousands now people are going to be in heaven for eternity, is it worth it? Yes. So you count the cost and you ask, is it worth it? Number six, the sixth thing that Solomon says to say you need to do is plan for problems. Plan for problems. Now, you may not want problems, but they sure want you. Okay, so you got to plan for problems in any major decision. Everybody knows Murphy's Law. If something can go wrong, it will. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, Murphy was an optimist. I think that's true. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. Now, you can't ignore problems, as I said, because they're not going to ignore you. You're going to face them, so you've got to prepare. Now, how do you do that with faith? Here's the key. Hope for the best while preparing for the worst. That's what the Bible teaches. I hope for the best, but I prepare for the worst. Because all sunshine and no rain makes a desert. There are going to be storms that come in life. Jesus said, when you have tribulation. He didn't say if you have. He said, when you have tribulation, when you have troubles, it's inevitable. It's just a matter of time. Problems are going to find you. So you hope for the best, but you plan for the worst. Now, when I say plan for the worst, I mean plan for problems, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean you solve them in advance. Listen closely. You cannot solve tomorrow's problems today. You have to solve them when you face them. But you can prepare for them. You can't solve them today, but you can prepare for them today. When you get there, God will give you the energy to solve it. But you're going to face them. Never confuse decision-making with problem-solving. Never confuse the decision-making phase with the problem-solving phase in life. If you have to solve all the problems before you ever make a decision, you're never going to make a decision. Because some problems you can't solve till you get there.
1963, John F. Kennedy stood up at Rice University and announced to the entire world, we're going to the moon by the end of this decade. When he said that, it was physically, technologically, and scientifically impossible. We couldn't do it. We didn't have the technology. There's more technology in your cell phone today than there was at NASA when they sent the guy to the moon. More computing power in your cell phone, if you got a smartphone, than all of NASA had at that day. And you realize what they used to get a guy to the moon and back. Then we didn't even have that in 1963. But leaders make the decision, then solve the problem. Don't confuse decision-making phase with the problem solving. You make the decision because it's the right thing to do, not because you can solve all the problems. And then when you get to the problems, you solve them in the problem-solving phase. So when I say plan for problems before you make the decision, I'm not saying you got to solve them. You're not going to. I mean, when you made the decision to become a parent, those of you who are parents, had you solved all the problems with your kids first? No, of course not. You didn't even know what the problems were. You wouldn't have had kids. God is so gracious that he unrolls the scroll a little bit at a time, because if he showed you the end, it'd scare you spitless.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called The Work God Shaped You to Do from our series called Doing Business with God. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org, or just text the word DAILY to 313131. Again, that's the word DAILY to 313131. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Many people aren't excited about their work, and they may even dread it. Maybe this is because we see our work as a necessary evil or just a means to an end. But when you look at your work from God's perspective, there's so much more. Did you know your work can be a form of worship to God? The Hebrew word for work in the Old Testament also means worship and serve. It doesn't matter if you're working in the home, at a job site, or in an executive office. Your work can be a ministry that brings honor to God. Pastor Rick Warren says that you'll find real significance and meaning in any job once you've got the Lord's perspective on it. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, Rick wants to send you his study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. This biblical look at work includes a 6-session DVD and workbook that will give you the tools you need to find purpose in your work, allowing you to enjoy your job more than ever, or maybe even for the first time. These insights and more are part of Pastor Rick's study kit called Christians in the Workplace, equipping you to live out your faith at work. And it's yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 313131.
Once again, here's Rick.
Proverbs 22, verse 3 says this: a sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares, circle that, prepares to meet them. In other words, you're looking ahead. I can see that storm cloud coming. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. So in the sixth step of biblical decision making, you ask two questions. What could go wrong? And what will happen if it does? What could go wrong, and what will happen if it does? I'll never forget, in 2000, on the last day of 1999, when we decided to have a millennial celebration party at Saddleback. Many of you remember that. We closed this back parking lot, and we set up a giant stage about the size of Woodstock, and we planned a great evening that was going to start at like 7 o'clock and go till after midnight with fireworks to bring in the new millennium. It was the coldest night in 30 years at Saddleback Valley. It froze, it rained, sleet came down. We had a backup plan that people who were too cold could come in here, and we actually had a secondary place where people could come inside. Most of the people actually braved the weather and sat out there. We're going to have fun if it kills us. And we're under our rain tents as it's pouring down rain. And fortunately, nobody got electrocuted. And that night, I baptized about 50 people in a big hot swimming pool out there. I was so glad to get in that hot pool at midnight after being cold for 5 hours. But we had a backup plan. And people who couldn't handle that cold could come in here and they could watch it on the screens and stuff like that. So you plan for the worst. What could go wrong? What will happen if it does? Number seven. The seventh step in biblical decision-making is face my fears. I must face my fears. And this is the principle of confrontation. I've got to confront my own inner fears if I'm going to make a major decision. Because the root of all indecision, the root of all indecision is fear. Fear. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. And we all have all different kinds of fears. I'm afraid that I will make mistakes and embarrass myself. You will, but it won't kill you. It won't kill you. I'm afraid that I won't be able to finish what I've started. I'm afraid. Will you face your fears? Now, since we hate to face our fears, what we do is we make up all kinds of excuses. God came to Moses and said, Moses, I got a big plan for your life. And Moses said, I can't speak well, Lord. God came to Gideon and said, Gideon, I got a big plan for your life. Gideon said, I'm too young, Lord. I'm the youngest kid in the family, in the poorest family, in the smallest tribe of Israel. You picked the wrong guy. God came to Abraham and said, I got a great plan for your life. Abraham said, I'm too old. One was too young, one was too old. We all make excuses. But you got to remember this verse on the screen, Ecclesiastes 11:4. Oh, it's not on the screen. You know it. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. We looked at it last week. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Now, one of the great fears that everybody has that tends to keep us not making decisions is the fear of disapproval. Proverbs 29:25 on your outline. Fear of man is a dangerous trap. But to trust in God means safely. In other words, the moment I start worrying about what other people think, it's over for me. The party's over. I'm dead in the water. It's done. Because disapproval, that fear, is actually worse than disapproval. The fear of disapproval is always worse than disapproval. So here's what you need to ask. What am I afraid of? When you have a major decision and you're pausing and you're hesitant, you need to identify the fear, face it, and confront it. You need to face your fear head on. The only way to defeat a fear is to face it and move against it in faith. That's the antidote to fear. A lot of times we think, well, if I just ignore it, it'll go away. It won't go away. That fear won't go away if you ignore it. A lot of times we think we can talk ourselves out of a fear. I'm not fearful. That doesn't work. Okay? You can't, you know, fear's always got more excuses. How do I get rid of a fear? There's only one way to get rid of fear. Face it and move against it. Physically move against it. You do the thing you fear the most. And all of a sudden, boom, the boogeyman wasn't as big as you thought it was. You open that closet door and the boogeyman wasn't even there. What am I afraid of? Now, the only antidote to fear is faith, and that brings us to the last step. Step eight is this. Step out in faith. Step out in faith. This is the principle of initiation. Initiation. At some point, you got to pull the trigger. You got to stop aiming. You pull the trigger. Step out in faith. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? You got to trust God and start moving. You got to do the thing you fear the most. Now, let me give you a little true confession. In every major decision we've had to make at Saddleback Church in the last 32 years, every single major decision, I was scared. But I did it anyway. Why? because I happen to believe that you should build your life on the promises of God, not your own personal fears. So you say, well, what do you do if you don't have faith? When I don't have faith, I act like I do, and I do it anyway. Let me say that again. When you don't have the faith to do something, you act like you've got the faith, and you do it anyway, and guess what? The faith will show up. Courage, you know this, is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving ahead in spite of your fear. You're not courageous unless you're afraid at the same time. If you're not afraid, you're not courageous. If you're not afraid, you don't need courage. Courage comes because you're scared to death, but you happen to believe this is what God wants me to do, so I'm going to do it even though I'm scared to death. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding, your own fears, your own weaknesses, your own perspective. Remember the Lord in all you do, and He will give you success. You see, God supports those who move in faith. I have seen that thousands of times in my life. Thousands of times in my life. Where do I need to trust God? You haven't really believed God until you've attempted something you can't do in your own power. Sometimes you feel so weak. You're physically weak. You're emotionally weak. You're mentally weak. You are drained. Friends, I can't tell you how many sermons I've preached in that condition. Physically, emotionally, mentally drained. Everything coming at me from this way and that way. I can't tell you how many sermons I've preached like that. God supports those who move in faith. Your choices determine your character.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Maybe you've never thought about it, but your job matters to God. You say, how is that? Well, because God planned what you would do with your life, and part of your life includes your job, your work. God planned a ministry for you through the work you do. Now listen. It doesn't matter what your job is. You may be a manager or a stay-at-home mom or dad. You may be a doctor, a teacher, sales clerk, garbage collector. You may be a taxi cab driver. You may be paid or unpaid. You may be a volunteer in your work. No matter what you do, God uses your job to put you in a place where you can minister to others. And your ministry is actually in your job. Now, I'd like to help you with this. I'd like to equip you for your ministry at work. So I put together a study kit that I've called Christians in the Workplace. And it actually includes six sessions. They're study sessions. And there's a DVD and there's a study guide where Azusa Pacific professor Paul Schreier and I teach you about ministry at work. And together we talk about opportunities for spiritual growth, and we give you a guide for moral and ethical decision making, and talk about how to find opportunities in your work to share your faith with others. There's a lot of helpful material in this kit, and I'd like to send it to you. I'd like to send you Christians in the Workplace study kit just to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. And when you support this ministry, you are helping not only share the good news with people around the world, you're helping Christians to grow. Now, I believe that this series is going to be a good series to help you, because we all have to work in different ways. And you'll benefit from this study, and it'll be a great small group study you could actually do with some friends. Now, we're a listener-supported ministry, and your financial gifts make it possible for us to continue broadcasting. So, thank you for your gifts. And by the way, visit my website, rickwarren.org, and you can find all kinds of information about other materials, resources, and studies, and of course, the Daily Hope broadcast. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for your support.
I love you, I thank God for you, and I'm praying for you. So join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.